from Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. After getting into a boat, Jesus crossed the sea and came to his own town. And just then, some people who were carrying a paralyzed man lying on a bed, Jesus saw their faith and he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Then some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Stand up, take your bed and go to your home." And he stood up and went to his home. When the crowd saw it, they were filled with awe, and they glorified God who had given such authority to human beings. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Shortly after beginning my work at Blue Mountain College, I became acquainted with a longtime friend of the college named D.D. Ruff Nicolau. D.D. is a unique lady. She lives today in Birmingham, Alabama, the suburbs there. And Dee Dee endured a traumatic accident horseback riding a few years ago. The injury left her quadriplegic. But Dee Dee refused to be conquered by this illness that in many ways destroyed her body, took away her long-cherished independence, her self-sustaining nature, her lack, as she would say, her lack of patience. She said, "It taught me much about humility that I'd never known." You see, prior to Dee Dee's injury, she'd been a world traveler. She went to exotic places and learned about their cultures. She cherished life and lived it with vibrance and to fullness. Dee Dee also was an avid horse person. She competed in horse jumping events, and that is what actually led to her injury. She doesn't remember exactly the events of that day. She only remembers about a week later waking up, unable to breathe on her own, unable to take in nourishment and food. But through the rehabilitation process, Dee Dee has learned to celebrate life even in this state and appreciate some things that she never would have appreciated, she says, had it not been for the injury. She says, "In some ways I was so busy, going so many places and doing so much, oftentimes I didn't have time to slow down and smell the roses and cherish friendships and intimacies of those who were near and dear to me." You see, Dee Dee was also a world-class fencing competitor. Now, for those of us that are not up on our fencing, perhaps you've seen it on television where they wear what looks like kind of a screened mask. And Dee Dee said, "Fencing in many ways is like playing chess in a hurry. You have to think and you have to move and you have to act." Such a contradiction to her state of now being able to move her body. She described her injury much in this ways with her affection for horses and riding and competing with them. She said, "In many ways, I look at this through the eyes of a horse." She said it this way, we can't always choose our path. Life often chooses the path for us. And many times, we can't buck it. We have to go. We have to deal with what we're given. But thirdly, she says we have a choice to either go along with it or give up altogether. Wow. What an inspiration. To be able to respond to tragedy with such a positive spirit. I find Dee Dee to be a true model and example of living with something inside of her stronger than herself to deal with the adversities life has given her. You see, we of the faith, we know what that secret is. We know that before Dee Dee experienced that injury, that it was the faith and love of a Lord above that was planted in her to strengthen her in a way beyond what she could even understand. As I hear this scripture today, I think of the story of this paralyzed man. And I wonder, when I hear his story and Dee Dee's story, if I were in that state, oh, how I would react. You know, we understand that depression is a great temptation. Bitterness for anyone who would go through such a traumatic experience. Dee Dee said, I never really have succumbed much to depression. Sure, I have down moments. But I've always tried to focus on what's before me instead of what's behind me. And you know, as I consider this scripture today, some interpreters wonder if this man really was captive in his sin. To say it this way, perhaps this man, we don't know much about his nature, but perhaps he had not responded to his injury with the same positive encouragement that my friend Dee Dee had. Maybe he was filled with bitterness. Perhaps in some ways he had given up on faith altogether. You know, that's a possibility. Just as we hear this story of the four friends taking him to Jesus. And as the Gospel of Luke would tell us, they tore open the roof of the home and they lowered him down into there. Maybe the taking friends of this paralytic by his four friends was more than physical. Could it be that their taking was also spiritual? Relational? Could it be that this paralytic was one who'd lost all hope in the faith, who'd given up on God being loving, because what kind of loving God would allow such tragedy to engulf my life? I certainly can relate. Can you? It would be so easy to go from the positive spirit to Dee Dee to one who'd given up on life, and yes, if we're honest, even faith in God. We don't know the state of the paralyzed man, but we know the promise of Scripture tells us this, that those four friends had not given up on him. Isn't that a reminder to us? That we sojourn through life with those that God's entrusted us to minister to. And to not give up on, and to take when their faith is not strong enough, to have faith for them. You know, I heard a friend say once, when they were at their depths of darkness going through a tragedy, that one of the most encouraging words that they heard from another was not words of advice, was not words of challenge and contradiction. No, the words that helped them the most were this. They said, look, I know it's bleak right now. And I know you don't feel much like praying right now. And I want you to know, until you do, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to embody your prayers. I'm going to pray for your family. I'm going to lift up your concerns as though they are my very own. See, that's what friends of the faith do. We journey with one another. We, like the four friends of the paralytic, take them to the feet of Jesus, where true healing is to be found. You know, our scripture tells us that as these friends brought the paralytic to Jesus, seeking physical healing, Jesus began with another kind of healing. He begins by saying, "Your sins are forgiven." Maybe Jesus was alluding to this person's bitterness. Perhaps he was saying that although your faith is fragile, my love is eternal. You see, before Jesus started repairing the man's physical needs, Jesus started with his spiritual needs. Before God restored something on the outside, Jesus restored what was most needed on the inside. He brought forgiveness and life and love to one in need. That was the gift of our scripture. And how often have we, in our tragedies, or perhaps our brokenness, or just adversities of life, so often thought the problem was something on the outside, with our job, with our health, with our family. So often we concentrate on the things outside instead of what's on the inside. Just recently I visited with my friend in Corinth named David Carpenter. David is a Christian counselor. He owns a counseling agency named New Creations Counseling. It's a prefix of the scripture that reminds us in Christ we are a new creation. David shared with me that recently one of his colleagues shared that she wanted to start doing addiction counseling. She wanted to focus only on addictions. David said after a short visit, he reminded this colleague, this sojourner and clinical assistants, that really so much of what they do deals with addictions. They're not all substance. Some of the addictions are to food, are to money, are to power, are to working too much. So much of what ails us in life is not the stuff out there, but it's something lacking in here. You see, the Lord of life, as the man was brought to him with the physical ailment, started by repairing not what was on the outside, but what was needed most of all on the inside. Forgiveness, restoration, spiritually, in addition to physically. During this time of our Wednesday night Bible study, it's the time of season where we start considering again our confirmation classes. I spoke with our fifth graders this past Wednesday. We're working on our plan to start next fall, this summer, to begin some of that journey into church membership. I visited with a session just last week about our plan for confirmation for our young people and talked about our need to have a new membership workshop for those who want to learn more about the church here and what it means to be a member of Ripley Presbyterian. You know, as I had that conversation with our young disciples, with our fifth graders this past Wednesday, I said, I want you to understand this, that as we go through the confirmation process, the membership process, we don't do that to earn the right to be a child of God. You see, there's nothing we do but receive the gift that's already been earned for us to be children of Christ. We go through membership. We confirm our faith to grow, to be strengthened for our journey, to learn more about what it means to be a member, not to earn the right to be children of God. You see, that's been earned for us already through the gift of grace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. I shared with them that we began that journey simply by understanding and appreciate those ABCs of the faith. All we do is, A, we admit that we are sinful, that we are broken like the man who's paralyzed in our scripture in many ways. Perhaps our paralysis is not on the outside, but we all deal with our own challenges, our own brokenness, our own sinfulness. We began that journey by admitting that we are in need of a Savior. And we continue that journey with the B of believing that Christ is the one who can give us the gift. And then C, the ABCs of the faith, we come to Jesus. And we confess Him as the Lord of our life. You see, our confirmation process is just a way for us to grow in the faith, young people. Our faith is earned. Our faith is bought. Our faith is paid for through the love and life of Jesus our Savior. You know, in our scripture today, we are reminded that the four friends helped the paralyzed man to come to Jesus. But you know, more importantly than the paralyzed man coming to Jesus, and more importantly than his friends bringing him to Jesus, friend, there was something else that happened before that. Before they came to Jesus, did you know this? Jesus first came to them. Did you hear it in our scripture today? Our scripture says that after Jesus had finished his ministry out there, he came to his hometown. He came back to those who needed him most of all. You see, before, friends, we come to faith in Christ, we realize that he's already come to us. The work has already been done. You know, I think of this paralyzed man, and I asked you earlier in the sermon to consider, what if this man had very little faith? What if he truly was a really sinful man? That surely can't be the case, can it? Surely Jesus wouldn't have come to this one who was sinful. Because you see, what happened in this experience, this, my friends, is the journey of Easter beginning right here in this scripture. When Jesus said, "I forgive your sins," he was accused right there by the teachers of blasphemy. That's the very conviction that sentenced him to death. You see, I think Jesus, in his all-knowing, understood that that very day his journey to the cross was getting closer. When he stood up before the assembly and said, "I have the power and the willingness to forgive you," that in forgiving and setting that man free, he was taking that bondage, that brokenness upon himself. Why would he do it? You see, surely the paralyzed man wasn't a great sinner. Jesus wouldn't have risked it all for one unworthy, would he? Would Jesus have truly risked his very safety for one who was sinful? I think he would. Isn't that the truth of Scripture? Where Paul said, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly when we were still powerless. Friends, I'm grateful today that Jesus the Christ embodied the journey to Easter, the road to the cross, to save us when we were at our broken state, just like the paralyzed man. He came to us even before we come to Him in our brokenness and our most sinful state. Thanks be to God and the Savior of the world. Amen. Let's respond now in faith.